After 20 months of a brutal war, South Sudan's president has signed a peace deal with the rebels to stop fighting immediately. It follows months of on-off negotiations, several broken ceasefires, and a warning from the UN that it would act immediately if there was no peace agreement. The war began after President Kiir accused the rebel leader, Riek Machar, of attempting a coup. Now the two sides have agreed to end the fighting. Fighting which has displaced more than 2 million people, killed many, many thousands, and terrorised, really, an entire population. But can this peace deal hold? Mike Lewis is a former member of the UN Panel of Experts on Sudan and the lead investigator at Conflict Armament Research Group. He joins us from Mali this morning. Mike, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Thank you very much.
Mike, I guess it's no much point asking you, do you think this peace deal can hold? Because nobody can know that, but what are the key elements of this deal that give us hope?
Well, I think the first thing is that it is rather than being a ceasefire agreement, it is the first peace agreement in the process since the war started. The latest round of the war started in December 2013. That said, there's a very long political history of peace agreements in Sudan and South Sudan going back to the 1970s. And peace agreements have a very particular meaning in South Sudanese political discourse. In other words, they're almost always provisional. They're almost always strategic pauses while the two sides decide what they want to do. And that's as true of the 2005 CPA, many agreements signed since 2011 with different rebel groups. So I think we need to be cautious about the extent of this latest agreement.
Under the agreement, as I understand it, the rebel leader, Riek Machar, will become vice president. Now, for that power-sharing arrangement to work, there needs to be some trust. It's hard to see how there can be instant trust, given what's been going on.
I think that's right. I mean, this is also a long-standing feature of Sudanese and South Sudanese political agreements, that they serve to reintegrate rebel forces into governments, and that reintegration is almost always provisional. And it's quite extraordinary to see President Kiir's rhetoric today in Juba, just after the signing of the agreement, where he came out and said he had extraordinary reservations about the agreement. It's an amazing thing for someone to say right after they've signed a peace deal. He said exactly the same thing in the first of many ceasefires that he signed last year. So, you know, we've had 7 or 8 ceasefires in this process, now a peace agreement, but I don't think anybody is holding their breath to see what will happen. The other problem is that weapons continue to flow into the country. The latest reporting from the UN underlines that, and investigations by my own organization show that both sides are continuing to acquire huge quantities of arms, putting the country also in debt. So I think there's a very long way to go.
President Kiir had resisted signing. In fact, his rival had signed a week or so ago, but the president didn't want to sign because he had reservations about the demand to demilitarise the capital. He said, there's no country in the world that can remove its national army from the national capital. Was that one of the key demands of this deal? Is that still in there? And is that what it means, that the army has to leave the capital?
Well, that does seem to be the reading of the peace deal. As you remember, when this latest round of fighting started in December 2013, it started in the capital with fighting between the presidential guard and a great deal of killing, particularly of newer members of the army and politicians who subsequently joined the armed opposition. So it makes some kind of political sense to say that if tension is in Juba, and remember that there are still tens of thousands of people being secured by the UN in Juba, in the capital itself, fearful of being able to live in the city. So there is some kind of logic behind this. But the call to move all military forces, I think it's 30 kilometres outside of the city, does seem to be quite a tough one for a sovereign government to agree to.
Mike, it's been an incredibly violent conflict, and the government forces have been accused of horrific acts against citizens, raping women, barbarism, really, just shocking barbarism and cruelty. In fact, the UN humanitarian chief, Stephen O'Brien, said the scope and level of cruelty in the attacks against civilians, quote, suggests a depth of antipathy that goes beyond political differences. Now, with that history of barbaric treatment of civilians, how will the civilians feel about this peace deal, leaving the government forces there in charge? And what is that depth of antipathy about? Is it ethnic tension?
I think it's a very long political history of tensions between ethnic groups. This goes right back to the 1990s and before, when the two major ethnic factions of the war, the Nuer and the Dinka, engaged in mutual massacres in particularly around Bor and Jonglei, that have seen a lot of fighting recently. When I was last in the rebel-held areas in South Sudan, you spoke to, you know, very well-spoken, educated people, school teachers, doctors, who were very clear that they, you know, that their communities wanted to continue to kill each other. And this is not just a Sudanese problem; it's a problem of the diaspora as well. When in 2012, Nuer Nuer people started to kill their neighbours, a lot of the political rhetoric and some of the fundraising was done through White Army websites based out of Melbourne and other places in Australia, because there's a huge South Sudanese diaspora there. So this is an antipathy that runs not only within the country, but throughout South Sudanese diaspora, in Australia, in the US, in other places, and it's not going to be solved very soon.
Mike Lewis, thanks very much for joining us.
Thanks very much.
Mike Lewis is a former member of the UN Panel of Experts on Sudan and lead investigator at Conflict Armament Research Group.